Well, we've all gathered together this morning in the name of Jesus, the worthy one, the one who is worthy, and the only one who is worthy to be called our Savior and Lord. So may grace, mercy, and peace be with you all. And appreciate everyone here. Appreciate our visitors as well. And welcome them. We had a wonderful time last weekend with our weekend meetings. The meetings were a blessing, a time of allowing the light of God to shine into our hearts and into our lives, illuminating the light of God in a variety of subjects and benefit to all that were present. We were certainly challenged in our journey here, to truly be sons and daughters of God, God Almighty, even in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. But God is still in control. Whether we're youth, facing the many choices and decisions that have a very far-reaching effect in your lives and on in the future, and make a difference in life and eternity. Or as parents who have the challenge of and responsibility of teaching and training and being role models for your children, It's an important job. Our conduct and attitude as parents, the reflection that it throws on our children and grandchildren. Whether we're brethren of the church who have a vision to maintain and a God to glorify, we all need the wisdom of God, and we daily face decisions and relating to our health and also the health of a loved one and those who Reuben and Rose, who are, I'm sure, in great sorrow and bereavement because of their little son that was drowned. And I think we all have decisions, and many of them reminds me of the message that Henry had. It's been quite some time ago, possibly. Decisions and decisions, they are so plentiful. And, of course, our attitudes within the brotherhood. And we as a brotherhood, if we could just serve each other more and more in love and just be more concerned about others than we are about ourselves, esteeming others better than ourselves. And many other things that we were blessed with, and being interested in some in the weak members who need our love and our encouragement, and that they will trust and turn to God in the time of need, and in any matter that we face, and also who can help us with being more supportive of the Lord and His church and the church's programs and attendance and midweek meetings. It's so easy to just we just got other things to do, or we don't suit to go the best, and so on and so forth. We need to be more supportive, and may I just encourage the sisters a little bit. I guess the sisters' sewing was quite small. Could we just put forth more effort? Even the young girls that don't have jobs otherwise, could we be more supportive and serve together each other in love? And utilize the opportunities available to us to be a witness of our Lord and Savior. The resources of ours, you know, they're just multiple. I mean, they are ours for the asking. Jesus said, if we ask, we shall receive. If we seek, we shall find. And if we knock, it shall be opened up to us. And he also says we have to make the choice who we're going to serve. Who we're going to serve. We can't serve two masters. Either we'll love the one and hate the other, or we'll honor the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the riches of this world tends to take over a lot of people. Money, power, and pleasure are the gods that they want to serve today. So may God help us to surrender our all. And the Lord had promised to be with his disciples of that day, in that age. He promised them, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world, to the consummation of the age. Okay, is that promise still good for you and I as disciples today? I believe it is. He will be with his disciples. And we're not here to make Mennonites, we're here to make disciples of Jesus Christ, followers of the Lamb that is worthy. And here we are as strangers and pilgrims on a journey from the cradle to the grave. We have a choice to make, and we want to keep on keeping on. May the Lord help us to put to work the things that we've heard in these messages in the past weekend. And so, for a message, I'll get through the introduction here now. And the message, there's just a lot of things that went through my mind. How are we doing with the messages that we have? Are we stirred in our mind like the first message? And is church important? Are we here in the joy of the Lord, or are we burdened down? Have we worked so hard we can't even stay awake for today or for a couple of minutes? I mean, like 45 minutes, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it'll be longer than that. Let's stay awake. Let's be alert. Is it really appreciated that we have this privilege? I mean, Brother Steve brought it out so well. I mean, God used him to bring it out so well that we can get things mixed up. What is really important? And one thing that is important, and that is God will never forget us, his children. And if you want a title for the message today, Never Forgotten. Never forgotten. Even in our most darkest moments, God's faithfulness surrounds us. And he says, where two or three are gathered together in his name, in my name, he says, I am in the midst. He's here. Let's sing that verse, a song. He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be the same. Thank you. Turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 13 through 16. Here Isaiah is prophesying. You know, the children of Israel were in captivity for 70 years. Here Isaiah is prophesying of the time when God is going to restore them again. God is going to bring them back to Jerusalem. God is going to bring those children, the generations that were born in exile, He's going to bring them back to Jerusalem. And it is a wonderful message to them people. It was at that day. A lot of them didn't believe it. But anyhow, a lot of people are not believing the message today that Christ is going to come for His own. And here we have this wonderful message, not only for their generations, but for us. He is restoring the restoration of the church. And He's exhorting the church. He is rebuilding. He is in the process of bringing those people back. Verse 16 here, or 13 rather, says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth in singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted." But Zion said, what did Zion say? "The Lord has forgotten us. He has forsaken us. He has forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? "Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." He has graven. Now the Living Bible says, "I have tattooed you on my hands. And I am always aware of your broken down walls and the rubble that is there." He wants to change this. He is talking about His faithfulness. He's addressing His people. Their people, they complained and they fussed and they carried on. And here they are over in Babylon, you know. And if you want to read, it's interesting too that Justin shared about the golden deal that Nebuchadnezzar built. those cubits. And in Ezra was one of the priests that was brought back from Babylon. And Ezra, when they started to build the temple, there's some of the people there from the nation came and tried to stop them. And was it King Darius at that time, I believe, said that, "Who are those people and why are they here?" I'm not sure just what all took place. But God told the prophets, told Prophet Haggai and Zechariah, they prophesied that the Jews were at Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God, the Israel of Israel. And they started this process. And then some came and said, "You just can't do that." Okay, so they look back, and this is in Ezra. Read it sometime, chapters 5 and 6. And then Darius, the king, made in the house of the rolls, made in the house of the rolls where the treasures were laid up in Babylon, and there was found in, a palace, in the province of the Medes, a roll, and therein was record thus written, back in the time of Cyrus the king. He made a decree concerning the house of Jerusalem, the house of God in Jerusalem. "Let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, and the height thereof 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 70 cubits. That would be like Brother Justin mentioned, that would be 90 feet high and 90 feet long, and I don't know what the breadth of it was, the temple that they were to build. And it went on to explain that, but then it says that even the golden vessels that Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple when he overtook Jerusalem, all those golden vessels were held somewhere. Nebuchadnezzar, what king was it, used them when they had some big party, when the hand on the wall, wrote on the wall, was, I'm not sure, was that Darius or I don't know. But anyhow, you know about the incident. And Nebuchadnezzar, and here this roll, this record that Cyrus the king said that the golden vessels, golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, and brought into Babylon, be restored and brought again into the temple, which is at Jerusalem. You know, it's amazing. God's faithfulness. And we as people, we get discouraged sometimes, and things just don't go the way we like for them to go. But God is faithful. God is going to help us in His time, in His way. He will help us, just like He did the children of Israel here. He listened to their complaint, and they said, He's left us alone, and He's unaware of what's going on. But He tells them, He knows their fears. He knows their fears here in our in the text here. I have graven you. And even though if a mama could forget her sucking child, I suppose if you'd asked Sister Rose this morning about her little boy, whether she could forsake him, oh, she could not, you know. But He says here, the Lord says, even if a woman could forsake and forget her young child, sucking child, He will not, I will not forget you. So we have that same promise today. The Lord describes His compassion and His intimate awareness, you know, of a mother and a child, and His love and concern for His children. Today, we as His children, He is very much concerned. And that's why He says, wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, I will be in the midst. Isn't that a comforting thought? If any of y'all have a burdened heart this morning, or a heart that seems God has forgotten me, let me just encourage you that He has a personal commitment. I will not forget you. And no earthly loyalty can compare with God's loyalty and His compassion and His commitment to His children. And again, I say it's such a wonderful thing that those generations that were born in exile, 70 years, some of them were 70 years old already. They were born, you know, at the first when they were took captive. And so we need to realize and think about this commitment that God has given to us, to where we don't despair, where we don't think, God, where are you? He's here, and He's in our midst. It's only that we have lost our vision, or we have chosen to fall down the mountain. Brother Norman made a real simple illustration this morning about the commitment that Abraham had when he was climbing the mountain. I forget what the word was he used there. But anyhow, the ascent, as he went up, he was totally committed. I'm going to sacrifice my son. And he went on up. But some of us, in our commitments, we falter. And we fail, and we fall back down the mountain. Let us take courage. God is there. God is here. And how does this, what does this image convey to each of us here in verse 16? Behold, I have graven you upon the palms of my hands. That's a very intimate concern for each one of us. And how do we look at God? How does it affect me? How I think or what I think of God? What are the complaints that we have to God? How do we respond? We need to continue in prayer, instant in prayer. But we want to turn now, that was the main thing, and of course in verse 6 of this same chapter, Isaiah is prophesying of the Messiah. He says, and he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore and the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation to the end of the earth." That's Jesus, a prophecy of Jesus. And now we will want to go into the New Testament and meditate on some of the truth that the Lord himself, and also in Psalms and so forth. Turn with me to setting in Luke chapter 15. There we have a setting, the whole chapter goes from, concerns the coin that was lost and the sheep and so forth. But in chapter 15, verse 13, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth me. He divided them, and he divided unto them his living. Not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish in hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet afar, a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him." The father was so concerned about his son. I believe he was praying, and he was watching for him. And he came, and he went towards him, and embraced him. He was so grateful, so thankful. And this is how our Heavenly Father is with us, even when we fail. When we are sincere in serving Him, but we fail. Well, we come to Him in repentance and confession, and He is coming. He embraces us again. It also that is a more important message here in this portion of Scripture, I believe, than even the earthly Father. Yes, earthly fathers are concerned about their children, and they love them, and they want the best for them. And remember Saturday night, "And ye fathers," you know, we want to be more like Abraham. When God, this was God's testimony of Abraham, he said, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Fathers, yes, it is so important that we love our children and we want the best for them, but we must be the role model for our children. And like I said the other evening, I'm not exempt as a grandfather. I appreciate my grandchildren, and I know they're watching me and Grandma. They see our mistakes quicker than we do, possibly. So may God help us. But this is a message to us that the Father, God, our Heavenly Father, is so concerned. He loves us so much. He doesn't want any to perish. Do we realize His concern? His compassion. Can we realize? I know, you know, we can't understand the greatness of our God. We can't understand the infinite mercy and love that He has for us. But may we realize that He is, you are one of His. If you have committed your life to Him, you are one of His. And He is very much concerned. He loves you. No, we're not worthy. I had to think of that this morning. We're just not worthy of all the blessings, the goodness that He has showered upon us. Yet we praise Him. We honor Him. And we love Him because of His goodness to us. The redemption through the blood of Jesus. Oh, the preciousness of a Father's love. And, you know, we, like this young man said, we're not worthy. We're not worthy of all the mercies that He has shown to us. Yet He loves us. He never forgets His children. And now if you, let's see, I'm going to turn to Ephesians. There's a portion of Scripture there that I would like to insert at this time. In chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, in which among whom," and I am included in that very verse, "I am included among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Oh, but verse 4, remember, brothers and sisters, yeah, we are precious in His sight. He created us, and He gave His Son to redeem us from our sin that we were born in because of the fall of man back in the Garden of Eden. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ, and by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Yes, such a love. Never forgotten. Never forgotten. He never forgets us as His children. He helps us through the thick and the thin. He helps us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 12 and meditate on another truth that He has given us. What did I say? Did I say Matthew? I meant Luke, anyhow. Luke chapter 12. Verse 6. Let's see, where am I at here? Verse 6. Before that, he was sharing with us how well He knows you and I. And whatever happens, wherever we are, He knows it all. But here he says in verse 5, "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him after which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God?" Notice that. Even the birds. "But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Another reason to know that God is concerned about us. And in John 14, we have some verses that we want to consider. John 14, verses 16 through 19. "And I will pray, Verse 15 is such a lovely verse too. If ye love me, keep my commandments. We love to keep his commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. And so there we have it, you know. Through his indwelling spirit, Christ's presence is able to comfort us and to keep us in all times and continuously give us life. Let's remember, when we get into a bad situation, let's remember God is there. He will help us out of it. He is there. He will never forget you. And 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we have the Apostle Peter writing there in verse 6. First Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. We can always entrust ourselves to the Lord Jesus. He will be there. We can be fully given to the Lord, knowing that his compassion supersedes the struggles and the uncertainty that we go through. A verse that Steve used several times in Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And why is that so important? The next phrase says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. There's another verse, another word in there. What is it, Henry? The good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Thank you, brother. And so God will not forget us, brethren and sisters. And there's one more Psalms 27, verses 10 through 14. The psalmist had so many struggles and problems at times. And, of course, we find ourselves in some of them as well. Psalms 27, verses 10 through 14. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me. God says if a mother can forget her nursing child, even though they will, I won't forget you. So he says, here David says, if when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless that I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And in conclusion, Zephaniah, the prophet Zephaniah, has something to share concerning God's love to us. If I can find it now. Okay, in the in chapter 3, verse 17. And I'm going to read verse 16. In that day it shall be said of Jerusalem, fear not, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. So God is faithful. He will never leave us nor forsake us. In Hebrews 13:5, I think is that verse. He will never leave us nor forsake us. May God help us to be faithful to the one who loves us so much and who cares for us and who is strong and mighty to keep us in his care. Brethren and sisters, you know, young and old, Norman made a statement, or one of the brethren, I guess it was Norman, I think, said that we're not here to play. And that's very true. It's serious business. It's a matter of life or death. And young people, turn to the Lord. Give your hearts to the Lord. Let him fill your heart with his Spirit and be true and faithful in walking with him. We are not here to play. We're not here to dream or drift. We have hard things to do and loads to lift. Let us help each other lift those loads and truly serve one another in love. We have hard things to do. We have loads to lift. Shun not the struggle. Face it. It's God's gift. He's there to assist you. Don't carry your struggles alone. Seek a friend, a brother and sister, to share. Sometimes it's just a wonderful thing to just unload. It's a load, but someone to help you out of a dilemma that you can't hardly handle, and then go to the cross of Christ, to the feet of Jesus, and unload the load there. You'll be glad you did, because you can receive the peace and joy of the Lord and rejoice evermore in the Lord. May God bless you. Thank you for your prayers and being so attentive today. Thank you very much, and let's kneel for prayer.